ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
Says Carney toes it off the deck for North, but only to the hands of Conan. Can the captain seal it? You betcha! Bree Conan kicks the last goal of the grand final that'll deliver Brisbane's second flag.
It's kind of nuts that the last time the Kangaroos lost a game was the 2023 AFLW grand final. Brisbane won that premiership, but from that point, North Melbourne has been on one. Two seasons straight, zero defeats. And from a grand final perspective, the two teams are locked at 1-1. And this Saturday night looms as a kind of decider, which is bursting at the seams with storylines. AFLW best and fairest winner Ash Riddell's unlikely preparation. The game's a sellout. Are we wrong to be locking out fans? How will the Lions curb North's relentless dominance? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Marnie Vinyl covers AFLW for ABC Sport. No one is better placed for this story. She is plugged in. Marnie, the last two premiers go head-to-head for a third straight grand final. I mean, if these two teams were boxers, this would feel like a kind of deciding bout. Is there a sense of a kind of definition baked into this one?
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of the storyline is North Melbourne are just so strong and no one can beat them. But I genuinely think this is going to be a lot tougher matchup than a few people are anticipating. And the Brisbane Lions, this is their seventh ever grand final in a possible nine. They are used to being on the big stage. They know what it feels like. They are a very dominant side. And I do think it is going to be a bit of a defining game with this trilogy that we've got. I mean, we constantly talk about rivalries growing organically in the AFLW and not kind of just copying and pasting traditional ones over from the men's. And we're really seeing a rivalry organically built between North Melbourne and Brisbane.
Who takes the mark for Brisbane, looks to kick with a searching ball in the middle of the ground, and the siren sounds from the plain of last year. The unbeaten Kangaroos conquer all in 2024.
This is the third consecutive grand final that they're going to be meeting in.
In the world of modern sport, it's kind of crazy to go two seasons without a loss. Why has this Kangaroos team just been so dominant? And how much of it is down to the incredible 1-2 punch of Ash Riddell and Jazz Garner?
That's a line that I think a lot of people are going to be really looking into in the coming years as well. I mean, I kind of really stick with that North Melbourne are just a club that invested so heavily in the women's program and they took it so seriously. And we've seen the professionalism and resourcing grow from 2017 when the AFLW started until now. And some clubs have really grown with that professionalism that was handed to them. And some clubs, I think, are still trailing a little bit, where North Melbourne, I mean, they are just all business.
If you walk into Arden Street, which is not palatial by any stretch of the imagination, but the women's locker room is exactly the same size as the men's locker room, and it has been since our first season of W. If you go to Brisbane's facility, which I've been to up at Springfield, it's exactly the same.
I think that that is really exemplified in Ash Riddell and Jazzy Garner. I mean, even Ash Riddell won the best and fairest earlier this week, and she was kind of just like, oh, okay, cool, yep, I've got the medal now, but we've got a grand final, so we've got things to do.
Yeah, I'm really flattered with the response, but yeah, certainly not really my domain to be up here and talking, but yeah, we've obviously got bigger fish to fry this week, but it's really nice, the support.
It's just they're so all football and they're all focused on the job at hand, and it is that they are just so good as a pair, and they're not flashy players, which is why they don't necessarily poll well every year when it does come to the best and fairest, because they're not unbelievably flashy or showy players. They're not necessarily going to be on the highlights reel for their goal celebrations, but they really just get the job done.
If Riddell and Garner are the danger sort of element for the Kangaroos, who do you see as the Lions' leading sort of counter-punch option?
It's such an interesting question, because I also think if we just go back to North Melbourne for a second, there's so much talk about Riddell and Garner, rightfully, that I think that there's going to be a lot of focus put on those two from the Lions players, which could open up for a lot of other North players to really step up on the big stage. I mean, it could be an unexpected best on ground, like a Tess Craven or an Alice O'Loughlin or even like a Blaheen Bogue. And then the same thing with the Lions. I think that you would go in being like, okay, well, their best midfielders, you've got Ali Anderson, you've got Belle Dawes, which is just, I mean, she's such an energizer bunny. She just does not stop. And I do think this will be almost a fitness battle to the end between these two. But if North focus on Anderson and Dawes, then that kind of opens the door up for maybe a Sophie Conway. Or you could even have, I mean, Courtney Hodder, who is just a goal-kicking machine, and she is a very flashy player.
What can Dakota Davidson set up for Brisbane? Kick to the teeth of goal. Harris was there and got out the back. Courtney Hodder right on the spot and kicks another for Brisbane. Classic small forward roving from the ever-dangerous Courtney Hodder.
She's so fun to watch. So it could really open up for an unexpected hero on grand final day, which I'm kind of hoping for because that's always fun.
Hey, Ashford Ells had quite the week. She won the Best and Fairest W Award on Monday, burned her partner with a great speech in the process, then went back to training on Tuesday, and then went back to work teaching on Wednesday, aside from her students being insanely cute.
When I saw her play for the first time, I thought I should probably have a shot at this sport.
Does it tell a story of where the league is at right now in a kind of positive and negative sense all at once?
I think that you can really trace Ash Riddell's footballing career with a lot of the infancy of the competition and kind of the story of the competition to 10 seasons in. Because one of the things I love most about the Ash Riddell story is that she was overlooked in the first two drafts. So she was actually the only player of the 2017 VFL W Team of the Year who wasn't drafted to any club. And there were only 8 clubs in the AFLW competition at the time. And of course, it wasn't a national draft, so you've got a small pool of Melbourne clubs. But still, she was overlooked by all of these clubs. She was picked up by North Melbourne when they came in as an expansion club with Geelong, and then immediately just had this very steady and consistent rise. She's always kind of in the conversation of best and fairest, but she was never really a red hot favourite until this year because she's just so consistent. And one of those consistent things is that she's always had this job as a teacher along with her footballing career as well. And if you ask her about it.
I absolutely love coming to school every Monday, and I think it holds me, I guess, in really good stead from a performance point of view on the football field, because I might not play so well on the weekend, but the kids come in and they talk about themselves and talk about their games and whatnot. So you move on pretty quickly from the weekend and you sort of don't dwell on either the highs or lows of football. So I think it makes me quite balanced, and I enjoy doing two things, because I think, if I have too much time on my hands, I go a bit crazy. So it's nice to have the balance of both.
I think it also builds a lot of character, because if you're ever at a North Melbourne game, you will hear her kids in the crowd cheering for her, and it is ridiculously cute. But it also is a reflection, as you said, of the competition still being so young and, you know, really having this rise into professionalism, but still straddling not being full-time completely for so many of these players, including the best player in the competition in Ash Riddell, who wins the best and fairest, has a training day at North Melbourne, and then is straight back to school to teach her kids.
Absolutely bonkers when you put it like that in many ways. And kind of speaking of which, this is the fourth consecutive grand final to sell out for the AFLW. And I know you have thoughts on this conversation, which kind of has two sides, at least two sides, I would say. One suggests that it's good to have a venue absolutely packed to the rafters and the atmosphere that brings. The other side of the coin might be you can't grow into a space you don't have. Where are you on what is going to be the AFL venue or AFLW venue this coming weekend?
Yes, you are completely right. There are two very big arguments to the venue of the AFLW Grand Final, but to the counterpoint that it should be, you know, we should have it at a smaller venue because then it has a full atmosphere and that's really enjoyable. To that, I say, do we not remember 2019 when you had 52,000 people at Adelaide Oval? And yes, the competition looks very different and it's in a very different spot, but we don't know how many people the AFL could get at an AFLW Grand Final if you constantly put a ceiling on it. The AFLW Grand Final hasn't just sold out, it's sold out within a day for the last 3 seasons. And for this year, I had friends try and buy tickets on Monday night and they couldn't, but the AFL only put out on Thursday that it was official sellout. So not 100% sure on the timeline of how quickly this one sold out. But if you're putting a ceiling on it, you are locking fans out of the showpiece event for the AFLW in a competition that is desperately trying to grow and trying to convert new fans. Finals is the time to do that. The AFLW Grand Final is arguably the show to put on to do that, because you also, you know that you're going to have very good football play. You have the very two best teams of the entire competition, North Melbourne and Brisbane. And we've seen them before. We've seen them in the last two grand finals. We know that they're going to go really hard. There's going to be a lot of very exciting moments. It's going to be, there's going to be so much fanfare. That is your time to, in my opinion, attract new fans and say, this is the game. Also, because there is a perception of AFLW out in the community that it is of a lowest standard, I think, than what it really is, because you have the main stories that a lot of media attach themselves to and broadcast being the low scoring games, because it is easier to say, wow, look at this one game where this team only scored one goal or didn't score any goals, or look at this game that was really low scoring, how are we still here? Where the games that are really good, they don't get as much attention because it's not as clickbaity, I guess you could argue. So put the AFLW Grand Final in front of many people as you possibly can to show, no, this is what it can be. And I just feel Docklands Stadium may or may not be the answer to that. We know that in the AFLW, the team that finishes on top gets home ground advantage. So in the last four grand finals that sold out, one of those was up in Springfield in Brisbane when it was Brisbane's home grand final. So it's very state dependent. But the AFL, I believe, have to work out a solution that where you are not locking fans out of the showpiece event. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Perfectly argued. Give us a prediction. Let's go crystal balling. Who's going to win? Who's going to be best of field?
It feels so silly to tip against North Melbourne, given that they are on a 26-match winning streak. If Brisbane are the team to break that streak, it will be, oh, I mean, I think that they're going to wear that like a badge of honour for a very long time. Gosh, it feels like a fool's errand to tip against the Kangaroos at the moment. So I will be tipping North Melbourne, but I hope that it is within at least two goals. I'm going to say North Melbourne by 11 points.
Live coverage is going to be on the ABC Listen app. I'm sure Marnie Viner will be at the ground. Marnie, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Tacky.
Headlines. As you would be aware, the Perth test only lasted 2 days, and that resulted in some inferring the pitch was partly to blame. Well, the ICC has rated the deck as very good, which probably suggests the truncated innings from both sides was more down to ropey batting than a pitch teeming with gremlins. Interestingly, a host of Indian greats like Sunil Gavaskar and Ravi Ashwin have made murmurs about the fact a green seamer in Australia is seen as fair game, but a raging turner in India comes in for criticism. I'm sure Ed Cowan and Corbin Middlemass will be hitting that in the ABC Cricket podcast on Friday. They had a cracking episode drop Thursday. The boys performed in front of a live audience. Ed was on a heater. You should check out that pod if you need to get up to speed on everything Ashes. Search for it on the ABC Listen app. We've got to talk about Liverpool for a second, because they have lost by 3 goals again. This time in the Champions League, beaten 4-1 by Dutch team PSV Eindhoven. That's their worst run of 3-goal defeats since the 1950s.
It's delight for PSV. It's absolute dejection for Liverpool and their supporters. Arne Slot called the run ridiculous yesterday. What label is he going to put on it tonight?
It happened at home at Anfield, so you can imagine how that was received. Manager Arne Slot may have won the Premier League last season, but he's under the pump right now. The Socceroos World Cup picture is taking shape, with the full draw not taking place until December 6th, but we do know that Australia's been allocated pot 2 in the initial seeding process. What that means is that they should theoretically be the second strongest team in their group, which should help them get through to the next stage. They also can't play any other teams in pot 2, which includes heavyweights like Croatia, Colombia and Japan. However, there are some big names still trying to qualify who could spice up the lower ranked pot 4, such as Italy, Sweden and Poland. Watch this space. Summer of golf is underway, with the Australian PGA taking place at Royal Queensland. Cam Smith, he shot 2 under at his opening round. He has had a miserable 2025. He missed the cut at every major, so he will be hoping this is the start of an upward trend. Adam Scott carded 3 under, as did Minwoo Lee. To get a full breakdown of the opening round, head to the ABC Sport website. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Stan Sport for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.